لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تلهكم أموالكم ولا أولادكم عن ذكر الله ومن يفعل ذلك فأولئك هم الخاسرون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and also sisters at the madrasa, we come to the last part of this incident in the life of Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, who is considered to be a Khalifa or the Sani Umar. In his Khilafat time, there was a lot of peace, lot of aman, lot of justice. But that is a different chapter. He was sitting in the graveyard, close to a grave, whilst others were engaged in the burial of a person who had died. So somebody asked him a question, that what is it that you are reflecting over, pondering over, contemplating over? Why is it that you are so quiet? So he said that this grave called out to me and said that, why don't you ask me, what do I do to those people that come within me? And then he went on saying that the grave says, of course it was his own contemplation, his meditation, but he says that the grave says that I crush their bones, I suck their blood, each and every part of their body I disjoint. We have discussed all that at length. Brothers, we must remember that this is the only thing that can put a brake on our evil desires. Nothing else. At present especially, when everything is moving extremely fast, we can give the most philosophical bayan, talk about the Quran and the Hadith and the Sunnah, and talk about Jannat, Jahannam, Akhirat, everything. All the Hadiths that you can think of, all the Quranic verses you can recite, but we find that it doesn't shake anybody. Few people, if Allah Ta'ala gives hidayat, they take some effect, but generally the sinful life just continues, because the person believes that I'm going to live here forever and ever. He sees janazas every day, he carries janazas every day, but the thought also does not come in the mind that one day my janaza is going to be carried on somebody's shoulder. I think I mentioned in one of my majlis that a cousin of mine who used to write on the board, he used to always do the writing on the board, funeral messages, nikah messages, announcements, and other announcements. That was his job. In the morning he wrote there that the nikah of his daughter will take place, or son, I don't remember well, a few years ago, the nikah of his daughter or son will take place on a certain date in a certain masjid. And in the evening, when he was returning from somewhere, he died in the accident. And somebody else wrote beneath that, the janaza salat of so and so will be performed in this masjid after a certain namaz. In the morning, when he wrote there about his son or daughter's wedding, he did not know that a little while later, just beneath that, will be written his janaza announcement. Brothers, so this is the thing that puts a brake, that when the person is concerned that I must not be found by the angel of death in a haram action, then it puts a brake. The moment you get that thought, that in the event of my death, what would be my condition? Would I like that the people come to know, na'uzu billah, that this person died in the cinema, or he died in the theater, or he died in the casino, or he died while he was sleeping with some haram woman, in some illicit relationship he was, and in some hotel room he died. Would anybody like a death of that kind? So the moment the person thinks of death, it will put a brake on his evil desires and passions. That is all that is required. We are not saying that 24 hours just think of death and do nothing. Don't do business, don't be cheerful, don't talk to your family, don't go out visiting, nothing. Just sit and think of death. That is not the maqsad of it. And I have repeatedly mentioned that if you look at the lives of the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in, and especially the Khulafa-e-Rashideen, who used to think so much of death, but see what they did. They ruled over empires. So it shows that it didn't prevent them from big business, it didn't prevent them from marrying, it did not prevent them from bringing up their children and giving them education, it did not prevent them from doing farming and agriculture, nothing. Dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe, dunya ke mashghalon mein bhi wo ba khuda rahe, wo sab ke saath rahe ke bhi sab se juda rahe. They were in the works of dunya. They were doing business, they were doing farming, they were doing this, they were doing that, they were doing everything. But their heart was always with Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. That is all that was required. قضاء آ کر باہوش کو بے ہوش کر گئی, قضاء آ کر باہوش کو بے ہوش کر گئی, ہنگامہ حیات کو خاموش کر گئی. So what did قضاء come and do? What did death come and do? The person who was bahosh, he was conscious, it made him behosh. Finish. No hosh left of this dunya at all. Everything over. قضاء آ کر باہوش کو بے ہوش کر گئی, ہنگامہ حیات کو خاموش کر گئی. The president saab and the secretary saab and the director saab and all the big, big saams, they were going up and down, up and down, this conference, that conference, this country, that country, this parliament, that parliament, United Nations. But what happened? ہنگامہ حیات کو خاموش کر گئی. Finish. All the movement and all the racing and chasing, nothing, everything completely dead. Khamosh. So when the person has got this consciousness in him, then after that the person will restrain himself from haram. When he's going to restrain himself from haram, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will make that person then retain that noor of his ibadat inside his heart. Because when he does not restrain himself from haram, then all the zikr, tilawat, ibadat, the chasht and the awabin, the talim, everything just goes away. Some of the noor goes through the eyes, some through the ears, some through the mouth, but the noor is all gone. It all evaporates, vanishes. Nothing is left inside. But when this person will now, with this remembrance of death, now when he is going to think that I have to die one day, I have to leave this world one day, I have to go also that same direction that the others went. So now he restrains himself from haram. Every time he's restraining himself, that the thoughts will come, and especially those people who have indulged in a lot of sins in the youth, then it is a little more difficult, a little more mujahada they have to make. But the greater their mujahada, the greater their mushahada. The more these people will make mujahada, the more Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give them his closeness, and the more Allah ta'ala will give them a noor and light in their hearts. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will give it to them. They will experience it, and they will then sway and say that I have found a change in my life. Before, my life was a life of restlessness, uneasiness, but now I can find peace and happiness, tranquility, sukoon, irrespective of outside conditions, but inside my heart there is sukoon. So we are not saying don't make use of the things of this world. I keep on saying this because this is the greatest fear that people have, that what are we going to do without our cinemas, without our television, without our filthy magazines, without our haram entertainment? There'll be no life left. There'll be no life left. In fact, some Muslims have ventured to even write that, that there will be no life left, that these people are all bored, they are all caged up, they've got nothing to do. They don't know what is enjoyment, they don't know what is pleasure. Whereas these fools, they don't know what is true pleasure and what is true enjoyment. It is only the Ahlullah who really know what is true pleasure and true enjoyment. Because their hearts are connected with the one who puts happiness into the hearts. All the beauty of the world is nothing in comparison with the beauty of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He gives it in a capsule form to that person who connects himself with Allah. That this person is restraining himself and other people are just running towards sins. Therefore that ayat, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. What is the meaning of that? وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So what is that mujahada that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is talking about? Allama Al-Dusi Rahmatullah Alayhi in his tafsir Ruhul Maani, he says that here, what does mujahada mean? What is that striving? What is that sacrifice that we are talking about? الَّذِينَ اخْتَارُوا الْمُشَقَّةَ فِي ابْتِغَاءِ مَرْضَاتِنَا. That's the first tafsir he makes. That those people who really make mushaqqat and they strive to get what? ابْتِغَاءِ مَرْضَاتِنَا. To get our pleasure. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that for my pleasure they exert themselves. They have no other motive. Whatever they are doing of the good deeds, their intention, their niyat is nothing but to gain my pleasure. And once the person gets Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's pleasure, then I don't know how many hundred times you must have heard by now, agar ek tu nahi mera to koi she nahi meri, agar ek tu nahi mera to koi she nahi meri, jo tu mera to sab mera, falak mera, zameen meri. So once the person will get the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then the heavens and the earth will be for him. Don't look at his outside condition. One mosquito will bite him, he will make a big noise. That will be his outside condition. But inside the heart, that ocean of noor is flowing there. And who knows what enjoyment they get in that. What is it that makes them stay awake at night and make ibadat, or some part of the night at least? What is it? Who forces them? Is it written anywhere in the Quran or Hadith that you must get up, you must stay awake at that part of the night? Does anybody say that it is a farz or wajib? It's that enjoyment, it's that connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They really believe that they are communicating with the one who is hearing everything, seeing everything. When a person is thinking of his beloved, it is not necessary that that beloved at that time is also thinking of this person. In fact, 99% of the time that beloved does not even know of what the lover is thinking. It is only when he communicates telephonically or something, then only the other side they know. But if the person is thinking in his mind of his beloved, can the other person 1,000 miles away, his beloved, know that this person is thinking of me? He does not know anything. Or the woman does not know that my beloved is thinking of me, or my lover is thinking of me. But irrespective of which part of the day or which part of the night, which second of the person's life, if he just thinks of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, all that noor comes into his heart straight away. And it brings noor also, because it's the thought of the pak, pure being. So it will bring purity into the heart. And the thought of those illicit beloveds, it will bring darkness into the heart and filth inside the heart. This person's character also will change totally and radically, because there's nothing coming inside but filth. So he says, قَزَا آكَرْ بَاهُوشُكُ بَيْهُوشِ كَرْ گَئِ هَنْغَامَ حَيَاتَكُ خَامُوشِ كَرْ گَئِ. So this is what Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Ali was sitting there and contemplating. We must remember that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He wants to give us the best of this world and the Akhirah. It's not that He just wants to give us in the Akhirah. The whole world has been actually created for the believers. The disbelievers are only enjoying it as tufailis, as they call it. Because of the believers, the disbelievers are enjoying it. Because the day there's going to be no believer, Allah Ta'ala will destroy the heavens and the earth and everything. So it is because of some believer that the others are enjoying it. So if that is the case, you think Allah Ta'ala wants to deprive us. But He has not kept His raza and His pleasure in just the quantity of wealth that a person possesses, which we normally take today to be the yardstick to measure that how pleased is Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala with so and so, then look at his wealth. That how much of wealth he has, that much Allah is pleased with him. Nauzu billah, our thinking has changed. In other words, if we had to live in the time of Qarun, Nauzubillah, we should have thought the same thing that those people were thinking of Qarun. They were thinking that Qarun, look at what Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with, what Allah Ta'ala has blessed him with. But he was told that no, that this is not Allah Ta'ala's pleasure. Allah Ta'ala gives sometimes out of his pleasure to the believers who are obedient to him. If Allah Ta'ala with his pleasure gives them plentiful of wealth, it's Mubarak, it's a bonus. And if he does not give them anything in this world, then too they are very fortunate if they have got Allah with them. Hasbi Allah wa kafa billahi shahida. If you look at all those ayats, then what is the message? That even if the person doesn't have anything, Allah Ta'ala is sufficient for him. He must make the effort, go into the marketplace, try to earn halal. Don't look at what people are gaining by indulging in haram. Then if Allah Ta'ala gives him, whatever he gives him, make shukr over it. But don't measure by that yardstick, that how much of wealth a person has got, that much Allah Ta'ala is pleased with him. Dushmano ko aish aabo gil diya. Hazrat Hakim Sahab Damat Barakatum, he says, Dushmano ko aish aabo gil diya, aur dosto ko apna darde dil diya. Dushmano ko aish aabo gil diya. All these things made of sand and water, Allah Ta'ala gave it to his enemies too. Plentifully gave to his enemies. So much. Recently I was in Cape Town and I was told that most of those cottages on the beachfront there are owned by the Jews. Huge buildings. So now does it mean Allah Ta'ala became very pleased with them, therefore he gave them all that? They are toys for them to play in this world with. To the believer or to the person who's got Allah Ta'ala in his heart, when he looks at all these things, it is nothing but toys. How children fight over toys. They play with cars, little toy cars, and they fight. I own a BM. That person says, I own Mercedes. The other person says, I own this car. I've got a Rolls Royce. And they're all ordinary toy cars. And they're driving them around, and they're fighting over it all the time. Or they go to the seaside, they make castles. One says, I've got 10 rooms, very big lounge, huge mansion I have built. Another one says, I've got bigger than yours. And after a little while, another child comes and dances over each person's castle, and everything is flattened and nothing is left. And now there's a big argument over it, that you destroyed my castle, you destroyed my home. We laugh at those children fighting over those things. We are no better than them when we fight over worldly things. We are no different. We don't take a lesson. They are fighting over those cars and those castles, and we are fighting over our castles and cars. And in the process we forget that one day death is going to come and take us away from this world, and everything will be dead, completely dead. Jis jahan se hamesha ko jana, jis jahan se hamesha ko jana, aur kabhi lot kar phir na aana. Jis jahan se hamesha ko jana, aur kabhi lot kar phir na aana. Yeh irshad-e-qutub-e-zamana, aisi duniya se kya dil lagana. Yeh irshad-e-qutub-e-zamana, aisi duniya se kya dil lagana. Jis jahan se hamesha ko jana, the world which you are going to leave and go forever and ever, not to return again, not a word you can convey to anybody after that, not a single statement, nothing. You can't make your will after that. Once death has come, finished, that's the end of life. Nothing the person can do. If his house is incomplete, it will remain incomplete. If his marriage was scheduled to take place on a certain day, then that's the end of it. There's no marriage. Nothing. Have we heard of a dead person? They say, no, because the date was fixed, therefore we must go ahead with that nikah. Did we ever hear of any marriage like that? So even if that person's name was written on the board, but if he died before that date, then that's the end of it. He's got a date now with death, with the angels of death. So that world which we are going to leave and go away forever and ever, never to return, He says, then how can you give your heart to such a world? And that is all. We are not saying don't make use of that world. We are not saying don't wear good clothes, don't travel in good cars, don't stay in good homes. Nothing. I see dunya se kya dil lagana. How can you attach your heart with that world? That is the only thing. Now each and every one of us must look at our own lives and see how much of attachment we have got to our worldly possessions and things. Some people to their suits, some to their ties, some to their watches, some to their cars, some to their homes, some with the gold and silver. There's so much of attachment that the person just does not want to part from it. Or he cannot even imagine that one day it is going to be snatched away from him, or he has to leave it and go. He does not want to leave it. He is stuck. All the time he is just thinking that how can I retain this? So we are not saying don't make use of it, but making use of it is like using the latrine and the toilet. All of us make use of the latrine, we make use of the toilet. It's a necessity of life. We have to go and make use of it. But have we heard of anybody that went into the toilet and says, because I've got air conditioner now in my toilet, so I'm going to sit here all my life. It's very nice, very comfortable. Nothing. The person uses it and is out and he forgets about it. We haven't heard of a person, walima time or nikah time, sitting on the table and only talking about his toilet. If somebody has to do that, walima and nikah time, sitting next to you and talking about his toilet, what would you think of that person? So in the same way, these worldly things Allah Ta'ala has given to us, make use of it, make shukr over the ni'mats Allah Ta'ala has blessed. But to go on and on and on talking about nothing but worldly things, then it brings the darkness in the heart. It brings the darkness in the heart. Why do you think the Ahlullah, they do not like to mix too much? The reason is that when too much of worldly discussion takes place, in which they sometimes participate, just for the sake of bringing happiness into the heart of the Muslim brother, so they discuss worldly things also. And it's not haram, it's jaiz. But don't misunderstand what I am saying. But what? That now and again some casual discussion of some cars or business or home or something like that, or properties, it's permissible, it's jaiz. But to be obsessed with it, that is our condition. From the morning that we get up till the night when we go to bed, there's nothing but an obsession, and we can see it in our lives. If there was no obsession, then at the time of Zuhr, when the muazzin said, Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, then that person would have dashed towards the masjid. He would have dashed towards the masjid. He said, even if there is a customer now who will buy for $1 million, but if Allah Ta'ala says my success is now in the masjid, then I'm going to go to the masjid and make my salat. Then that will show that he doesn't have an obsession. The world, we must be making use of it, but we must remember that there are thorns. We have to guard ourselves against the thorns. The thorns of cheat, the thorns of fraud, the thorns of lies, the thorns of deceit, the thorns of haram. Now all these thorns are beneath that flower, beneath that rose flower are all these thorns. The flower is very beautiful, very fragrant. But a person does not just go and catch it like that. He is careful because there are thorns. One of my uncle is an artist. When I returned in 1969, so he had different types of frames, paintings of his. And there was one painting of his where there is a hand and a thorn has caused an injury and there's some blood trickling down. That's all, the hand with the blood trickling down because of an injury. So, and in the hand there is a rose flower. So he asked me to select any of the paintings, so I selected that. He said, why this one? I said, because it gives a very loud message. And he said, what is that message? Ye na samjho ke gulshan mein khatra nahi. Ye na samjho ke gulshan mein khatra nahi. Pard-e-gul mein kaante bhi rooposh hai. Ye na samjho ke gulshan mein khatra nahi. Pard-e-gul mein kaante bhi rooposh hai. Apna daman bachakar chale jaiye. Apna daman bachakar chale jaiye. Varna kharon ka koi bharosa nahi. He says, this beautiful rose flower, it's giving a message. It's very fragrant, it's very beautiful, it's very attractive to the eyes. It's lovely to see and lovely to inhale. Everything is good. Make use of it. But be careful. Be cautious. Be on your guard, because there are thorns beneath those petals. So keep your garment safe when you are in the garden full of rose plants and you have to walk through. Then be careful, because those thorns, you cannot trust them. So the beauty that you are seeing, be careful. You cannot trust those thorns. So inhale the fragrance, make use of it, but keep your garment clear of the thorns. That means all those things that Allah Ta'ala has declared haram, Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has declared haram, then keep away from that. Then make use of the things of the world. Alhamdulillah, there is no harm. It won't cause you any injury. In India, they play the flute and they charm the snake. And thereafter, they get rid of the poison from the snake. They've got an art. They got an art. They play the flute. So the snake also begins to drown in the music, the sweet sound. It shows that even music has effect on the snakes. So all the pop music and the other music, you think it won't have effect on us. So they charm the snake in that manner, then they catch it, and then they've got an art of removing the poison. And after they remove the poison, now that big python and big cobra, nothing, it can do no harm. They are playing with it after that. They wrap it around their neck and all, it doesn't mean anything. Why? Because they knew the art of catching that snake first. Now after looking at that person, if we also become very bold and courageous, and we say that I too am going to do the same thing to a python or a cobra, then we know that the next candidate for the graveyard will be that person. He will be the next one. First, you have to learn the art of charming that snake, of capturing that snake, of holding that snake, of overpowering that snake. Once you have learned the art, then the biggest snake cannot cause you any harm. First, learn from the Ahlullah how to make use of the ni'mats of this world. Sit in the sohbat, sit in the company, sit in the majlises and listen over and over how to charm this world. That this world is like a snake, it will bite. If we do not know how to get that poison out first, then it is going to poison us. Lots of people thought that Islam and Shariat said that it is permissible to make use of the dunya, so therefore let us make use of the dunya. They forgot that before you do that, you have to know how to take that poison out from that snake. They didn't take that poison out, and they went full swing. And what happened? They ended up in cinemas, theaters, gambling dens, in all haram activities, because plenty of wealth came. Now they didn't have the art of removing that poison, so the snake bit them, kept on biting them. As Maulana Abrarul Haq Sahab Damat Barakatuhum, he says, ye television jo hai, ye saampo ka patara hai. It's a snake box. Every time that you put on the switch, if one snake doesn't bite you, another one will bite you. If the music snake doesn't bite you, then the zina snake will bite you. If the zina snake doesn't get you, then the gambling snake will get you. If the gambling snake doesn't get you, then some other fight and quarrel and argument snakes will get you. But some snake or the other will get you. That is the effect of that.
पास जिनके हमेशा को जाना बस उन्हीं से है दिल को लगाना पास जिनके हमेशा को जाना बस उन्हीं से है दिल को लगाना छोड़कर जिनको है यहां से जाना अपने दिल को है उनसे बचाना.
That's all we have to do. Give our heart to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Obey Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Follow the Sharia. Then make use of the things that Allah Ta'ala has created for our benefit. Everything is created for our benefit. I thought we will complete that incident of Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz Rahmatullah Alayh, but I had this in my pocket. It's very, very touchy, and if a person wants to take a lesson, then it is sufficient. It's a whole waaz, it's a whole bayan, in just a few sentences.
ye saraye dehr musafiron ba khuda kisi ka makan nahi ye saraye dehr musafiron ba khuda kisi ka makan nahi jo yahan muqeem the kal ke din kahin aaj unka nishaan nahi jo yahan muqeem the kal ke din kahin aaj unka nishaan nahi.
In our language or in our times, we will say that this world is a timeshare apartment, timeshare. A person has got 1 week booked. Wow. At the end of that week, he must pack up and go, because somebody else is going to take his place. Now if this person says, but I love this furniture in this apartment, I love the air conditioning here, I love the beautiful vases and flowers and all the decoration here, I don't want to go from here. He says, but your time is up. 1 week is over. You get out from here. Somebody else is going to take your place. So he says, whoever came to this world, they all departed. Somebody else takes their place. Our great grandfathers were here. They went. Their children took their place. They went. Their children took their place. Now we came. After us, our children will take our places. Then their children will take their places. But nobody will remain here forever. You come and you go. You come and you go. So he says that this is a waiting room. It's a hotel. It's a timeshare apartment. Jo muqeem the kal ke din kahin aaj unka nishaan nahi. There's no sign of those people that were here yesterday. Where are they? They all gone to the graves and turned to dust. So what would you think of a person who is traveling, say, to Johannesburg by train, and because he's got a first class ticket, so he goes and waits in the first class waiting room, or he's taking a plane, and when he goes there, he goes and sits in the business class lounge or the first class lounge. Now there he's got a lovely couch, there he's got cool drinks there, he's got air conditioning there, he's got all the comforts there. But he says that, no, this is not sufficient. I'm not too comfortable with this chair, I'm not too comfortable with that, I'm not too comfortable with that. So the plane is about to leave, but he comes back into town and he does some shopping of furniture and other items to make life even more comfortable in that waiting room. Now when he comes, in the meantime the plane has left. They will say this person is mad, is stupid, is foolish. But whilst he is there, he must make use of whatever he has got. We are not saying now he mustn't drink water there, he mustn't relax there, he mustn't make use of the facilities there. So in the same way, in the world, Allah Ta'ala provided for us different things for our benefit, for our comfort. It's not haram, make use of it. But don't forget that there is a time for the departure of this flight. Keep the eye on the departure time. Now there at least you know that it's going to depart at 9 a.m. or 10 p.m. or whatever time. And here we don't even know when this plane of life is going to take off and leave the person dead. We just don't know. Look at the plane, the Egypt airline flight. 271 passengers from 30,000 feet above sea level, within 2 minutes it vanishes from the wind, from the screen, and disintegrates within 2 minutes, and it's coming very close to the millennium celebrations. Especially in Cairo, they say it's going to be the world's best. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala also gives warning signs that take a lesson. Now all those people who are heading for Cairo, they take a lesson. We are not saying that it can't happen to other flights, it can happen to anyone. And good pious people can also get shahadat in that way. But we are talking about all those who are planning to go for haram. They were planning for nothing but haram. The others who died, if their intentions were good, they were going for business reasons or they were going for some other permissible, jais, halal reasons, and they were believers in Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it is a shahadat for them. But I'm talking about those whose niyat was nothing but to go and indulge in haram. So now what else could have put a break except that thought when you were 30,000 feet up, that right from here, if Allah ta'ala wills, then within seconds there can be nobody left surviving. One brother just told me the other day, he says that he took his whole family and went for Umrah recently. So he says, this is the first time right up he was thinking that if something has to happen here, my entire family will be wiped out. So that made him read more tasbih. So that is what we have to think. That don't indulge in haram, because these days the visas of life are being just cancelled by this. Just cancelled. We just don't know when that is just cancelled.
Ye sarae dehr musafiro bakhuda kisi ka makaan nahi jo yahan muqeem the kal ke din kahin aaj unka nishaan nahi yeh ek qabr pe bekasi yeh ek qabr pe bekasi bas zuban haal hai keh rahi tumhe aankhe chahiye ghafilo mujhe ehtiyaj bayan nahi ha یہ ہے ایک قبر پہ بے کسی بزبان حال ہے کہہ رہی تمہیں آنکھیں چاہیے غافلو مجھے احتیاج بیان نہیں
One dilapidated قبر It is saying that I don't have to deliver any speech I don't have to give any speech It is sufficient for you O people of intelligence to look at my condition and take a lesson. I don't have to give you any speech. You don't require any speech. Just look at my condition and think of the person that is buried in here, of his condition, that what he was and what he is in here. I don't have to give you any speech. You take a lesson from my condition. Allah. And think of that person that is buried in here.
کئی بار ہم نے یہ دیکھا کہ جن کا مشین بدن تھا معطر کفن تھا
More than 100 times you must have heard this too.
کئی بار ہم نے یہ دیکھا کہ جن کا مشین بدن تھا معطر کفن تھا جو قبر کوہن اس کی اکھڑی تو دیکھا نہ عضو بدن تھا نہ تار کفن تھا
Nothing left, no thread of the coffin, no sign of the body. And yet they were fit, healthy people. So this qabr says, I don't have to give you any speech. You look at my condition, if you are intelligent enough, then that is sufficient for you to take a lesson.
Jo misal toti ye khush bayan, dame guftago te gohar fashan. جو مثال تو یہ خوش بیان دم گفتگو تھے گوہر فشان وہ پڑے ہیں ایسے خاموش یہاں کہ دہن میں گویا زبان ہی
All those statesmen and all those big orators those who used to thrill the audiences with their rhetoric and they used to sway the crowds in political platforms And the talk of the world was their speeches. They are so silent here as if they don't even have a tongue in their mouth. They are so silent as if there is no tongue left in their mouth. So if you are intelligent, he says, I don't have to give you a speech. You take a lesson.
Ye jahan khaleel hai bebaqa, nahi yaan barosa hayat ka. یہ جہاں خلیل ہے بے بقا نہیں یہاں بھروسہ حیات کا وہ ہے کون باغ جہاں میں گل چلی جس پہ باد خزاں نہیں
There's no trust in this life. We don't know when it is going to expire. When it is going to expire, nobody knows. There's no baqa for this life. That it will remain forever and ever. He says, which orchard is there, or which garden is there, that you can show me in this world, over which autumn did not come? Can you show any garden with the flowers blooming, and after that autumn didn't come over it? So if that is the condition of this world, So the only requirement is don't give your heart to it. I've repeatedly said that these majlises are not to increase knowledge. It is to get that courage and that himmat now to practice and to implement that knowledge in our lives. Then only we will get somewhere. Otherwise we won't get anywhere. And alhamdulillah, those people who are making that correct effort, they are seeing the results within a short time, within a short time. It's hardly a few days that we returned from Cape Town, and already I receive a letter in which the person says that my friends and I, for the first time, we made sincere tawbah from all our sins. I received a few letters already, but this one person, he says, my friends and I made sincere tawbah from our sins, and we never believed that it would have been possible for us to give up such kind of haram in our life to which we were addicted. But alhamdulillah, I say we have given it up, and straight away the person says that I can find the difference. He says we are already finding the difference. We are feeling the difference. And just this, before coming here, just before Isha, from Richmond we get a call. A brother says that he went and told the Imam Sahib there. He says it must convey the message to me. That he was indulging in zina, he was indulging in this and in that and all kinds of sins. And he least realized it, although he heard so much of bayans, but he never really realized what the consequences of the sins are. His life was restless. And he says it's the first time that he sincerely made tawbah on that Saturday night, and now must make dua that he stays steadfast. But he says he's made up his mind, he's going to give up everything, all zina and haram. So this is what it is. When you make that intention and you take the few steps towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala with his power of jazb will draw us. And we must not think that we'll do it with our strength and with our power and with our qudrat. Always express great helplessness before Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Say, we are extremely weak servants of yours, but we want to become your walis. We don't want to live a life of filth and sin in this world. Our lives are restless, full of anxiety and worries. We want a life of peace and happiness, contentment, satisfaction. We want the noor of taqwa in our hearts. We want your closeness. We want the closeness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And draw us, O Allah, with your power of jazb towards you. And then see how Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala opens the doors. May Allah ta'ala bless me with it, because I am more in need of it than you are. So make dua for me too, that Allah Ta'ala bless me also with those sifats, and bless, I make dua, Allah bless you and the entire ummah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. Allahumma rabbana zolamna anfusana wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Oh Allah, forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins. The sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. The sins that we committed in the light of day or darkness of nights. Forgive the sins of our eyes, of our ears, of our tongues, of our hands, our feet, our heart and mind. Forgive us, forgive our parents, forgive our wives and children, forgive our brothers and sisters, forgive the entire ummah of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ay Allah, humare zahiri, batini, saghira, kabira, amadan, khataan, har guna ko baksh de. ہم سب کو صحت عافیت سلامتی عزت نصیب فرما اے اللہ دنیا کے مشغلوں میں ہم رہے لیکن تیرے ساتھ ہم ہمیشہ جڑے ہوئے رہے اے اللہ ہم سب کو دنیا کی پریشانیوں سے اور آفات سے اور مصیبتوں سے اور تکلیفوں سے مکمل نجات عطا فرما یا اللہ تیری رحمت کے سائے کے اندر ہمیں ہمیشہ جگہ عطا فرما تیری قوت جذب سے ہم سب کو اپنا بنا لے نفس و شیطان ہمارے دشمن ہے اے اللہ اس دشمن کے ساتھ ہمیں بھی دشمنی نصیب فرما اے اللہ تیری ذات پاک کے ساتھ اور حضور علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی سچی محبت نصیب فرما کہ جس کے بعد ہر نیک کام کرنا آسان ہو جائے اور ہر برے کام سے رکنا آسان ہو جائے ان اللہم انا نسألک من خیر ما سألک منہ نبیک و حبیبک سیدنا محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا